important that he'd want to talk to somebody about, you know. But anyway, that was my dad. I had to learn how to love my dad. He had a boatload of PTSD from the Korean War and all of that, but anyway, he's in heaven. So we're going to pray that for Bob right now. So stretch your hands out. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now that you are working on Bob Clark and Linda, his wife. Lord, that you're touching him with a magnificent love. Lord, you chased every single one of us down. It wasn't like we were looking for you, Lord. For me, I was running away from you. But you never gave up. You never stopped working. So, Lord, we ask that you would touch Bob. Give him dreams in the night, Lord. Give him divine appointments where people come across his path that he'll listen to, Lord. You know who they are. Give him a divine appointment to go see Bob. Lord, we want to see him healed. But more than that, we want to see him in heaven. And, Lord, I know that you can do that. But, Lord, you got to work your way into his heart. So we just ask that you'd touch him. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you all got your letter this week. Some people said they haven't been receiving them. So, by golly, I made sure I got it out by Tuesday because snail mail is really snail mail. I guess everything that comes into the Coldwater office goes all the way up to Grand Rapids where it runs through their sorter, and then it comes all the way back to us. So, anyway, yeah, it's one of those deals. We are going to do a full open on the church on the second Sunday in June. Now, I messed up when I said the second Sunday in April, but I think you guys figured that out. But anyway, we're going to be fully open with the junior church and nursery available. Wednesday night, Hour of Power services are going back up on that week as well. Dream Team, men's group, we're just going back into full operation. So just kind of keep that in your prayers, I pray, and we'll be doing all right. You know, if you just use common sense, so much of this is easy to deal with. I mean, we're talking about the hand sanitizers. Please, gel when you first come in so you don't bring anything in. And gel when you go out so you don't take anything home with you. We learned that back when I was a chaplain at the hospital. You gel in and gel out into every room that you go into. That way you don't pass it around to somebody else. And besides, you know, we got the distancing. We're going to avoid the handshakes and all that. If you want to wear a mask, that's okay. Nobody's going to put you down for that. We're just glad you're here. Amen. Some people are a whole lot more susceptible to this. And so, you know, we respect anything that keeps you healthy and safe. But don't let fear control you. Do not let fear control you. And we go through it every week and we sanitize this building and all of that. So you're not walking into a germ factory. So praise God. Amen. Next Sunday is going to be Pentecost Sunday. Woohoo! That's when the Holy Ghost was poured out upon all the believers. Man, 120 of them came out of that upper room and the world was never the same. So that's going to be next Sunday. Now the following Sunday after that, we're going to have Dave Beebe come in. My wife and I, we're going to head north like the governor. She opened the northern part of the state, coincidentally, just in time for her to go up to her vacation home in Traverse City. Bless her darling heart. Then she told us all we couldn't go north because we'd contaminate all the youpers and all of that stuff. Well, apparently she didn't get the memo that she gave to everybody else. Oh, bless her darling heart. But anyway, we're taking off that week. So Dave Beebe on the first Sunday in June is going to be here. Dave's a frequent flyer. He's an absolute awesome minister of the gospel. He pastored for several years. Gosh, he's been in the ministry over 40 years. But the last thing he had was pastoring a church up in Albion. But he's got a really good spirit about him and great things are happening. Amen. So I know you're going to get blessed. Glory to God. Now for the offering, because part of what we're doing is common sense, we're not passing the offering plate. So you're not catching a bug from somebody else. So it'll just be out there. And if you didn't get it on the way in, it'll be sitting on the table out in the lobby. You can get it on the way out. And that's all good. Amen. We'll do that the same way on the 7th when Pastor Dave is here for communion. So when you come in, just pick up your communion cup. It's one of those little sealed jobs, you know. Got the bread and the cup and everything in it all at once. So just grab that on the way in on the first Sunday in June and you'll get blessed. Amen. If you got your Bibles, would you open to Ecclesiastes in chapter 3? This morning I want to talk to you about the power of remembering. It's Memorial Day. It makes sense, right? But you know what? It's a goofy thing. It seems like every other day I'm hearing something on the newscast, so this is National Ice Cream Day. Or one of them is, I like this one, National. Now this is something that we're paying these guys about $200,000 a year plus expenses to make up laws in Washington. This is the National Talk Like a Pirate Day. That's literally one of the big things, you know, I guess, for some people. They walk around, har, 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 you know. But Memorial Day is a very powerful thing, and we got to remember what it's all about. It's about remembering the soldiers, the armed forces that died on the fields of battle. Now you talk to the average person, they don't have the first doggone clue. They just think it's a three-day weekend. We get to have a big party. We get to eat a lot of food and hang around with our family. Other people think of Memorial Day as when you go out into the cemeteries and you fix up the flower arrangements, and we'll be doing that too. Because they converted it in their mind that it's just National Memorial Anybody That Died Day. But it really is about the soldiers and sailors and, you know, Marines, and Air Force that gave up their lives so that you and I could have the freedom. You know, it's a funny thing. If you forget those defining moments in your culture, in your personal life, they have no power to transform you. They have no power to keep you on course. I don't think we'd have had any of this lockdown nonsense if people to remember this is a free country and we ain't going down that road and you ain't going to make us, because the government's supposed to serve us. But they think now that little by little they've been taking our freedoms, and now we serve them. I think it's time for a reckoning. And quite frankly, and I'm praying this doesn't happen, one spark will set the whole thing off. And I don't want that. I have a lot of good friends in law enforcement. And I know they'll be the ones that they'll throw into the mess, you know, right off the bat. But you know what? I want to remember what it's all about. I'm not going to forget. I am not going to forget. Because if you do, it's meaningless and it's powerless to keep you focused. Memorial Day is a very powerful day, just like every other day. Think about it for a minute. What's the most defining day in your life other than your birthday? It's when you got born again, your second birthday. For me, I was 28 years old. I don't ever want to forget that. I don't ever want to forget. I've had several God encounters, even leading up to that one there. And what is so stunning to me is that God didn't give up when I fell back away. He just came after me again and again and again. And that's the thing I want to remember more than anything else. What price he paid. What it took to set me free. So it's important, you know. Because these memorials, if they don't stir your passions, they have no power. Anybody without passion is just going through the motions. They're living one day after another. They're surviving. You can survive. But if you really want to live, it takes passion. It takes something that's gotten to you to such a degree that you won't let go of it. When I was a little kid growing up, man, I went to the Methodist church. One of my favorite songs in the Methodist hymnal was Onward Christian Soldiers. You realize that some pencil neck pinheads decided that that's just offensive. My goodness, we can't do that. People don't understand. Well, then keep singing the song till you do understand, because really we are soldiers in the army of God, as well as citizens of heaven, children of the Most High God. But singing that, boy, I tell you what, as a little kid, man, I was always doing that marching when I was doing it. I was just a little guy, you know. But to me, it was a big deal. It's so important for us to have these things, because the passions, I don't want to be some empty soul going through the motions, do you? So you got to go back to this sense of who you are as a Christian, who you are as an American. Later on in my life, you know, I was still in elementary school, and man, there was Cub Scouts. Oh, man, that was cool, because you learned how to tie knots, you know, how to eat cookies. Boy, that was very important. But then I went into the Boy Scouts after that, and I got a sense of patriotism, because, I mean, we'd sit around the campfires and we'd tell stories, historical stories of what it took to get us to where we are. You know, we were little guys, but we were little men as far as we were concerned. It's sort of like a little dog that's coming at you ready to tear your leg off. Can't never tell that chihuahua that it's not a big dog. They won't believe you. But in the heart of every young man in the group that I was in, man, we just saw this as, well, yeah, we're going to go forward. Valley Forge and all that other kind of stuff. It led to a sense of patriotism in my heart. And this is kind of weird, because when you think about it in terms of your Christianity, you got to remember that God was the one that established a whole lot of memorial feasts. You realize that? that from the very beginning with the Jewish people, he brought out the Passover when they were delivered from Egypt. You bring that over into the New Testament, the fulfillment of that was our deliverance from, you know, Christ's deliverance for mankind. The Passover. That God would remember your sins no more. Then there was the one of the unleavened bread, the festival of the unleavened bread. This was in March and April for the Passover, because they use a lunar calendar for the phases of the moon rather than the solar calendar like we got today. But the unleavened bread was to remember Israel's rapid departure. Man, they had to, when God said get, they had to go, and they couldn't even get their bread leavened. So it was the unleavened bread feast. That's Christ and the church's freedom from sin. That was a type and a shadow of us being set free. Sin no longer has power over us. Sinners sin because they're sinners, but Christians sin because they choose to. Think about it. Third one was the festival or the feast of the first fruits. That was a dedication of the barley harvest. And for us, it was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Man, those are good memorials. Don't you ever forget those. That's why, you know, the government, one of the first things they decided they were going to take away from us was the freedom to have church service together. Because they know if they can silence the church or weaken the church, they can do whatever they want, because you don't have a compass that points true north. You know, that's the only thing a compass tells you, where north is. You can figure everything else out, you know, once you know where north is, right? As Boy Scouts, we had to do all this. We had map things. We had to follow through the woods, and there were certain little stations along through it. It was quite a thing. They gave you the map and the degrees and, you know, which way you were going, and you had to take the little piece of paper that was there, and then you go find the next one and find the next one. And when you came back, you know, you could read a compass anywhere you wanted to go. No problem. After the first fruits was the Feast of Pentecost, something we're going to have next Sunday. Pentecost, we think of it only in the New Testament sense, but in the Old Testament, it was a dedication of the wheat harvest, and that's where we see it fulfilled in the outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon man. Feast of Trumpets, yeah, that's a month of sabbatical. In other words, God says it isn't about all, getting all you can and canning all you get. Every now and then, you just got to take a break and chill out. So for a whole month, yeah, Feast of Trumpets. By the way, that's the only one that Jesus didn't fulfill of the seven. And it's going to be fulfilled when the trumpet sounds. Yeah, when the rapture takes place. That's going to be in somewhere in September or October. Nobody will know the day or the hour, but when it falls into the Jewish calendar, the Feast of Trumpets, I always get tuned up just a little bit for that, you know, because this might be the year. I know his coming is very soon. Then there's the Feast of Atonements. That's where the priest would enter into the Holy of Holies, and he would shed the blood upon the mercy seat to atone for their sins. And we have that in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ in our lives, once for all. Feast of Tabernacles was God's protection and provision in the wilderness. We see it as the millennial reign of Christ. These are memorials that keep you grounded, keeps your compass, you know, pointed true north. They're finding out now. By the way, I don't know if you realize this or not, but every so often, every, I don't know how many thousand years, the magnetic poles on the earth reverse. Really, they do that. In fact, they show evidence of it in the oceans along the seabed floor. That when it flips from north, north becomes south and south becomes north. It messes with everything. I can hardly wait to see what's going to happen with all our modern technology now, you know. So now my compass points true south. You know, I guess, I don't know. But anyway, right now, that whole thing is wobbling all over. The North Pole is not static because there's this molten iron and rock and everything else, this magma that's in the inside of the earth that's spinning around. It gives us a aurora borealis and the magnetic shield around the earth. But it's doing this number now. So true north. But with Jesus, that never changes. It may change in the natural, but it won't change with Jesus. Amen. See, it's important. You know, I want to talk about the single greatest defining moment in our lives that eclipses all the rest. More than anything else today, I want you to think about this. What was it like when you got saved? Where were you at? How old were you? What was it like? What happened? See, it's important for you to have that on several different levels. One, it keeps you grounded. Yeah, yeah, I am saved because I remember that day and God came in, for me, I talk about it all the time because it's so important. A man with an experience, a person with an experience, is never at the mercy of someone with an argument. Did you know that? I was working in Tulsa at this, working in the United Methodist Church, this massive church that was designed by the architect Frank Lloyd Wright. Beautiful, big, old, honking building. Big as a city block. Had gargoyles up on the outsides, of the apostles and all that stuff, big stone carvings. That couldn't really see them very good because they were so far up. Well, we're down in the basement and we're working. There's multiple different trades that were there, and this one group came in, and I think they were plumbers, if I remember right. This one old boy came down, and we're working together. I was in there with the electrical group, and he was carrying on about how Dr. So-and-so, who teaches at their First Baptist Church, about the different things, and he was teaching on how the Holy Ghost, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the speaking in other tongues is not for today. I'm sitting there praying because I want to work with these guys. Look, we agree on 99% of the scriptures, okay? So it's no big I, little you, none of this other stuff. But I sat there and I thought about it, and it came to me, and the guy comes over and he's talking to me about the same thing because he wanted to let everybody know. And I said, sir, for me to sit here and argue with you about whether the baptism of the Holy Spirit is still available for today, it'd be like me arguing whether or not I drove here in a blue van. I says, you're too late. It's not parked out there in the driveway. I respect where you're coming from. But, you can agree to disagree without being disagreeable. But the power of it all is when we're dealing with people and we tell them about how God has touched our personal life. How did God touch your life? Can you put it together in something that takes less than a minute to talk about? You need to practice that because you're going to get an opportunity. God's going to give you divine appointments where you're going to have an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus in your life. Because here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and in verse 11, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, look what it says here. It says, he has made everything beautiful in its time, and he has put eternity in their hearts, except no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. Put eternity in your heart. You cannot go to any place in this world where you will not see someone with at least some kind of a theology concerning life after death. Now, a lot of them are pretty goofy, but they got one. Because there's eternity in the hearts of every man, boy, woman, every girl, every woman. Man, I'm telling you, everybody's got this on the inside of you because God put it there. And because of that, we tend to be drawn towards the things of the supernatural. We know that there's more to this life than just when you die, we dig a hole and bury you. We know that. We know where Bobby is right now, Bobby Crick. He's with the Lord. He's up there on the streets of gold. He's enjoying his life because it goes on long after this old earth suit wears out. He put eternity in our hearts. Question is, what are you going to do with it? What happened when you opened the door and let Jesus in? See, this is all about remembering those focal points in your life, and the greatest one being the day that you found Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You surrendered your life. There's so many people that's walked away from the church in the last 10 years. It's ridiculous. And you wonder whether or not they really had a God encounter or not. Many of them, I believe they did, but they forgot about it. They just kind of started taking it for granted, and you let things slip. Before you know it, you're not really sure because everything else will crowd it out. The devil's really good at that. He's a master of distraction. But if you keep your focus on those memorials, I'll tell you, it'll give you a reason to celebrate every day. If you know that your Redeemer lives, if you know that you've got a personal relationship with Him, you know that whatever you're going through, you're going to get to the other side of it. Because God's not going to let go of you. That's why it's important, even after you get born again, that you remember those times where God showed up and God showed off and He was there for you at that critical moment that changed everything. Because if you know this in your heart, you won't give up. See, the only way you can be defeated as a Christian is if you just quit. If you just give up. What kind of a memorial was established in your heart when you made Jesus the Lord of your life? I know step one is, yay, I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. I remember that feeling. Felt pretty good, you know, when I prayed that prayer in my garage at the age of 28. But I've seen countless people that I was able to lead them through the sinner's prayer, and that's as far as they got. That's as far as they got. And those are people that are harder to reach because they didn't start moving in the right direction. Either they stayed stuck right where they were, or they started to regress right away. When I got born again in my garage, when I came in and I told my wife, who'd been saved 2 years before I was, in fact, she started sicking the Holy Ghost on me. How's that for love, you know? Well, I needed it. Believe me, I needed it. And I went in there and I told her what happened, and she freaked out. She's crying and laughing at the same time and all of that, you know. And I'm like, what? What did I say? What did I say? You know, like most guys. And then when she finally kind of got herself settled back down, she says, you're going to be tested here real quick. Like, the devil's going to try to come and hook you right back into that again. And I looked at her. I kind of like, whoa, I didn't expect that to come out of her mouth. Okay, so I just kind of filed that away. And 24 hours later, I had friends come over that they never brought any beer, they never brought any drugs, they never brought any. They just come to get siphoned off of me. And I'm standing there looking at it going, that's just exactly what my wife said was going to happen. So I was able to go from, wow, I'm saved, I'm not going to hell, to the next step, which was, okay, now I'll try to be a better person and honor God by letting Him transform my life. Lord, I don't want to stay the same way I was. That wasn't working for me, so that's why I reached out to you, and you reached right back. See, it's not enough just to get you saved. What are you going to do with it after you get saved? And I know that the second step isn't the only step, but by golly, it needs to be the second step right after the first one. Because the Bible says, go ye into all the world and make disciples. See, for me, in my life, 10 years before that event had happened in my garage when I was 18, 10 years before that, I had an encounter with God, and I gave Him my life. And the only difference between this, the second one, and the first one was in the first one, I didn't get plugged into a life-giving church. I was winging it, and I lasted about 2 weeks. And suddenly, I was right back into it. In fact, I got worse in that 10-year span than I was in the first 10 years. But when I went from 8 to 18, and then from 18 to 28, I was a far better sinner the second time around because I was running away from God. So I was so delighted that I was born again and I was going to heaven, and now I'm beginning this process of being transformed. I'm telling you what, I got a hunger for the Bible, and all I could do is read that thing. I took my easy chair, my lazy boy, and I got it out of the living room and put it into the entry room. It's kind of like a big old dining room area in the house that we were in, and I'd sit next to the little, you know, my stereo radio. Remember the big console ones that had an 8-track tape in it and had the records and had the radio on it? Big old cabinets, you know, remember those things? Wasn't any good for setting things on because you had to lift the lid to get to everything. But anyway, I'd just sit there and listen to Christian radio and read my Bible 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 and read my Bible. And things started to change, and it didn't take long. My confidence started growing. My faith was getting better all the time. So I went from, yay, I'm saved, to, well, I'm going to get into this now. And then the third part is, am I going to serve Him? Am I going to pursue this relationship? One thing to be saved, right? It's another thing to quit being the ding-dong that you used to be. And it's even something more when you start pursuing that love, right? I mean, you go from being this scraggly kid when you're in elementary school and all the girls had cooties. You were convinced, because if you had sisters, you were convinced of it. I had sisters, you know. And we were tormenting each other. That's where I learned about the ministry, because ministry is comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. And my sisters were always too comfortable, so I had to afflict them. And then you get into that awkward age when you're entering into adolescence, and now you're not just grabbing your shirt off of the floor in your bedroom, pulling it out all wrinkled up. You're actually combing your hair. You're actually doing all that stuff because, you know, girls, they didn't seem to be so bad after a while, right? So you're cleaning your act up. And then finally, one day, I was 19 years old. Y'all gonna rat on me, I know, tell my wife about this. But anyway, I was down at the 4-H fair, way down at the end where it made that 180-degree turn where all the rides were. And right there was a tilt-a-whirl. And this hot-looking thing comes walking up, and I'm there with a couple of my buddies, and she's just jabbering like a chipmunk. I heard you got a Harley. I like Harleys. Da-da-da-da. I'm like, I'd been a total failure with the girls my whole life. And suddenly this one comes up, and I was thunderstruck, buddy. And then she took off, and I couldn't find her. That's pretty sad, isn't it? About a month later, I saw her. Now, instead of just getting myself cleaned up so girls take a look at me, now I got a girl that wants to be a part of my life. I started transforming, because if you are a married man, a single guy at 19, and you get married, and you don't change from that single mindset kind of way of life, you'll get to be single again. So I had to change. I mean, you know, driving down the street and a hot-looking chick is walking down the sidewalk and I got my wife in the car with me and I'm going, wow, do you see that? And all of a sudden, wham, it comes across us. I'm like, what did I say? You know, guy brain, okay? But you got to change. But then you better start pursuing that love. That's why in 46 years, I'm still on my honeymoon. And I'm not kidding. This gal is just so amazing. Every time I turn around, I'm learning something new about her after 46 years. It's amazing. And that's what God wants for us in Him. He doesn't want us to be a bunch of obedient robots. He wants us to be someone who wants that relationship. Because once you've got that, it's not a religion, it's a romance. And once you make that transition, oh, I'm telling you, you never forget who you are. You never forget why you're here. You can sniff out a lie like that because the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you've been chatting with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost been chatting with you. Next thing you know, something starts scratching on the inside of you because somebody said something. Remember going to a minister's conference and there was the big dog was up there, the guy who was hosting the whole conference for multiple churches. And he'd gone through this whole thing with heart issues and all this stuff, and he'd gone to every person who was a faith healer that he went to, and he says, I've come to the conclusion that bodily healing is not in the atonement. I'm a baby Christian. Of course, I've been reading my Bible a lot, but still, I don't know if I'm pitching or catching. And when our group got back to the room, everybody stand up and cheered and all that, and I just sat there going, because something on the inside of me was scratching. That ain't right. Something about that just isn't right. It's like washing your feet with your socks on. You're going through all the same motions, but it isn't quite the same. So we got back to the group and the other ministers, senior guys, you know, I'm the pup in the room, and I'm asking them, says, can I ask you a question? When he said that, why did everybody cheer? Because, you know, and they said, well, he's so-and-so and all this other kind of stuff. And I'm going, well, okay, but if bodily healing is not in the atonement, how do you get it? If it didn't come through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, do you have any right to have faith that God will heal you? They hemmed and hawed around. And these guys have been in the ministry 30, 40 years. And a child shall lead them, because that's about what I was spiritually. I was just a child. He says, I got to understand, how am I going to believe for healing if it didn't come through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? And if it came through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's available for all of us. Now, I understand later as I've grown in the things of God that there are reasons why some people get healed and some people don't. And it's not that the person was a bad individual. Not at all. The Bible says, with long life, I'll satisfy you. Maybe they're satisfied. I don't know. Being sick is a tough thing. I can remember going through my time with a four-way bypass and then having to go back in and have them crack my chest open again because there were complications that were trying to kill me. I understand that more now than I ever did before. But you see, all those different times in my life, I build a memorial for them in my mind. I remember when God did this. I remembered when I encountered that. I remember when this over here. I can remember, well, that year that I had my open heart surgery, I had $25,000 in bills that I had to pay, medical bills that were paid. I had receipts for them. The goofy thing was, is I didn't get paid that much that year. Please explain to me how that works. I haven't figured it out yet. But I remember a God who provides. I remember a God who delights in the impossible. I remember how God did all these different things in my life, and it solidifies who I am. And it causes me to stand after I've done everything I know how to do. Like it says in the Bible, having done all to stand, stand therefore, you know, because God is still on the throne. What happened to you when you opened the door to Jesus? What kind of memorials have been built in your heart and your mind that you are constantly refreshing and constantly going back to them and remembering that that's the source of your strength? Nothing really takes unless passion is ignited. I wish it weren't so, but you can't just go through the motions. When passion is ignited, you got to tell somebody else. When that passion that comes up in your heart that God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son, that God so loved me that He brought me through the impossible times, I got to tell somebody about it. And quite frankly, it never occurs to me, it never becomes a thought in my head that what if they don't want to hear it? So, I have to listen to a whole lot of stuff I don't want to hear. Nobody seems to be worried about that. So I just tell them about Jesus. Why? Because it's this memorial in my heart of how good God is and how faithful and true He is. Has to be spoken. It has to be spoken. So we got to decide. Because if you're going to keep this memorial, you got to make some decisions. Go with me down here to Hebrews chapter 2 and starting in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2. It says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. The earnest heed means you're remembering it. You're talking about it. It is not something that happened in the past. It's something that you are remembering to this day. Have you ever spoken about a situation that you've gone through? And you emotionally and everything in your soul, you're reliving the moment like it just happened. I remember as a kid, I'm delivering papers, and there's this guy that has a Rottweiler down on Monroe Street. I'm riding my bicycle, got the big canvas bag in front back in the old days. And this dog had come running out, had no fence, no chain, no nothing. That dog knew when I was coming by. And he'd come running out. Man, he'd just bark and scare me half to death. Man, I mean, I'm crying. I'm running. I'm pedaling my bike as fast as I can. This dog never hurt me, but he was an awful big dog. And one time, I'm telling myself, he come out and I didn't see him come until he was right on me. And I didn't finish my paper out that day right away. I had to go home and change my britches. So after that, it's personal. I remember seeing this, I don't know, Western or something, you know, where the Indians are deciding what they're going to do, you know, and one Indian looks at the other and he says, it's a good day to die. That stuck in my little head. You know, I got a guy brain. It happens, okay? So I get all my papers together and I got it, and that was on the very early part of my bicycle paper route. And I'm coming down Monroe Street. And in my mind, I'm hearing these words over and over again. It's a good day to die. Because it's either that dog's going down or I'm going down, because this ain't going to happen no more. So instead of riding out in the middle of the street so I could get a little head start from the dog and get away from him in time, I was on the sidewalk, on the dog side of the street. And I got me a rolled up newspaper like a billy club in my hand, and I am moving fast. And I saw that dog coming around that house, the backyard. And I turned to meet the dog. Yeah, I threw that paper as hard as I could, and I hit that dog and yelped a little bit. And then I ran into him with my bicycle, papers going everywhere. It was a good day to die. See, when I'm telling you that, I'm living it. I can see in my mind's eye how big I was and how fast I was pedaling that bicycle and how I threw that paper and hit that dog. It's like it happened. See, every time you remember these things, it stays fresh and it keeps stirring the passion. It puts wood on the fire. We got to give more earnest heed lest we let it slip. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak in the subjection of angels, but one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you're mindful of him? Or of the Son of Man that you take care of him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You put all things in subjection under his feet. Is that a memorial on the inside of you? Because if it is, you'll look every giant rat in the eye and say, bring it on, big boy. Remember when David fought Goliath? He had 5 smooth stones. If you've been around here very long, you know why he had 5 stones, because Goliath had 4 brothers. He wasn't planning on missing. He was going to drop the biggest, ugliest one, and then he was going after the next 4. Why? Because he remembered. Remember when he's talking to Saul the king, he says, I slew the lion and the bear. He's remembering what happened as a kid, guarding his father's sheep. He didn't have a bunch of other guys around him. He was all by himself. Don't even know if he was a teenager. By the way, Blake's going to be 12 tomorrow. You're getting there, buddy. Next year you'll be a teenager. We'll be praying for your mom a little extra then. But David was no bigger than Blake. Took out a full-grown lion and a bear. Those were memorials. He never forgot them. And from that memorial, he knew that the Goliath was the next one going down. He didn't back up. He didn't get scared. He knew that God was right behind him, and he was never going to let him down. But look at this. He says that we don't let these things slip. And if we don't let them slip, my goodness, there's nothing that's impossible for us. Nothing whatsoever that we can't do because of the God of heaven who loves us. It's important for us to keep that in our hearts. Because in the middle of it all, that's the only thing that'll bring us through. You realize how many times the Bible says in it, all things? If you got one of those Bible software programs, just type in all things in it, and you'll see there are several hundred of them in the Bible. When God says all things, he means all things, right? So if we know that those all things apply to us, because God's no respecter of persons, then we can stand in the day of adversity and not fall away, because we know that our God will deliver us. How about Romans 8:28? You don't have to turn there, but Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. What the devil meant for evil, God will turn it around for good. God didn't send the bad thing into your life. He's just going to flip it over into something good. He'll take what the enemy means to tear you down, and he'll use it to build you up. You'll go through the valley of the shadow of death, but you're not going to be afraid, because he's right there with you, remember? That's a memorial. Every one of those valleys that you walk through and come out the other side are memorials. Romans 8:32 says, he that spared his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. All things. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Hasn't the love of God been shed abroad in your heart? That's a memorial. That's a memorial whenever God shows up. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. All things. That's the God that we serve. He's the God of all things. Can you believe that? If you've got memorials built into your heart, you will, because you remember every time God showed up and showed off. How about in 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all, I love this verse, that God is able to make all things abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency of all things, may abound unto every good work. You got that memorial in your heart? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Isn't that what Paul told the Philippians? He went through a whole lot of trouble. Most of his works were written in prison. 2 things happened everywhere he went. He had a riot and he had a revival. Praise God. Birthing churches and going to prison because he did. But he remembered. He didn't forget the God who brought him through. Remember when he's standing in on that ship in the Mediterranean Ocean, the sea there, and a great hurricane wind came up? He was steadfast. He knew he was going to come through this because God told him, you're going to Rome. You're going to preach to Caesar. Storm? Don't worry about it. Close to dying? You better believe it. Snake bit? Oh, yeah. But he remembered the God of all things. What are you remembering? Are you just kind of tiptoeing through life just one day after another with nothing special? Yeah. This is National Talk Like a Pirate Day. Yeah, there's a lot of people I know that they'll remember that, but they won't remember anything else. But 2 Peter, go ahead and turn here, 2 Peter chapter 1. You got to build memorials, people. You got to remember those times and never forget and refresh and refresh and refresh them in your mind and keep them current. So that when you have an opportunity to tell somebody how big your God is, it's just like it comes out just automatically. You don't have to think about what you're going to say. You're going to be grinning from ear to ear because they're talking about something that they went through, and you can say, okay, I listened to you. Now, catch this. This is what happened to me. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, according as His divine power has given unto us all things. Say that with me. All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that's called us to glory and virtue. According to His, look at this, divine power. God has already given to you every single itsy bitsy, fuzzy wuzzy thing that you need that pertains to your life, your walking around life, and your relationship with Him. All things that pertain to life and godliness has already been given to you. But how do you activate it? How do you walk in it? See, it don't work for everybody. You notice that? It just seems like that Christianity works for some people and doesn't work for others. Well, He tells you right here, look at this. He says, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Every promise, you better look to see what the condition is. Because if you want to get a hold of all things that pertain unto life and godliness, you better find out what those are. So it's up to you to search it out. It's up to you to find it. God's not hiding it from you. He's hiding it for you. And I know that sounds weird. Well, God wants me to have it. He'll just give it to me. No! Back in my day, back in the 60s and the 70s, the late 60s, early 70s, when I was coming into that wonderful time of your life where you drive your parents crazy, adolescence, you get into all of this and you think you got everything all wrapped up, but you don't know nothing. You just think everything that's going to come your way, well, my parents bought it for me, so hey, everything else is going to come that way. But then later on, as I got into being a teenager, if I wanted something, we had 5 kids. My parents didn't make much money. We had a roof over our head that didn't leak very much, and we had food every day. And a lot of love in the middle of it all, but 7 people in a house can get to be kind of exciting. And if you wanted something more than just the basics, you got to go out and get after it. So like I said, when I got born again, I just started reading my Bible. I found out that it wasn't just a book of religion. It was 66 love letters that was addressed from God, the creator of the universe, to little old me. And He's talking to me. And He's letting me know what's already mine. You know, it's important to read the fine print in a contract. But the Bible is a covenant, even greater than a contract. And God says, you do this and watch this. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, yeah, and repent, I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. God wants to heal America. What is the church going to do? Better get to repenting for being so lazy and wimpy and so distracted that you're not doing what God's called you to do. God wants to heal the land, but He's going to do it through the church that's willing to step up and move forward. All these blessings God has for us, they're waiting on you. And then you'll have even more memorials of His faithfulness through the knowledge of Him. Are you pursuing that? I sure hope you are. Because eye has not seen and ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. It's not waiting for you in heaven. It's waiting for you right now. And God wants to make you very, very dangerous. He wants you to know Him in the power of His resurrection. and the fellowship of his sufferings, not loving your lives unto the death. That's the part everybody leaves out. So you'll never get to know God by intellect alone. The Bible, by the way, is not a book of information. It is not. It's a book of revelation. Now, I know archaeologists use the Bible as their number one tool when they're digging up stuff in the Middle East because they're finding out that everything the Bible said is true. Go figure. Shazam. Well, they're looking at it from a scientific information standpoint, but if you want the relationship side, it comes by revelation. That means you got to ask God to show you what you're looking at. How many of you have ever been reading through your Bible and you read something maybe 100 times and suddenly you read it the 101st time and it's like, whoa, I didn't catch that last time. That's God going, that's for you. That's what's called a rhema word. That's when it's not just, you know, God speaking through ink on a piece of paper to me. That's where it's God's beginning to speak to me personally. That's a memorial. That's a place where you can hang on to. So as I honor my personal memorial of him, great things happen. I'm continually translated into the kingdom of his dear son. See, that translation is where you just suddenly you're over here. You know, when you get translated, when it talks about, you know, how one of them, who was it, Philip went down to Samaria and he was translated back to another part of Israel after he witnessed to the Ethiopian eunuch. Translation is where you're suddenly over here, where you were right here. So if I'm in the world and God translates me over into the kingdom of his dear son, I run into an encounter, a situation where all of a sudden I got to make a decision. Am I going to do it my way, the world's way, or am I going to do it God's way? And suddenly you find yourself only thinking of God's way. You're not giving yourself a choice because you've already made your choice because of the memorials that you've built in your heart. It is so important for you to continually do that. It strengthens you. It establishes you. It makes sure that your moral compass always points true north and with the power to back it up. Everything in Christianity flows from the depth of our relationship with him. That's why you're supposed to pursue that all the days of your life. Because God is so deep. Why do you think God created eternity? Because that's how long it's going to take to figure out how wide and how long and how deep is his love. It's that powerful. And it's that personal. But it keeps you from backing up. You know, Jesus had his 12 disciples. They were with him that whole 3.5 years, weren't they? And he had a bunch of others besides that were really close followers. He had his 12, he had his 50, and then he had his 120. But in the middle of it all, here they are walking with Jesus, camping out with Jesus, eating with Jesus, listening to Jesus, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says that they didn't really get it until they were standing on the Mount of Transfiguration before Jesus went up. Judas never figured it out. He only understood the what. He didn't understand the why. Because he only understood the what, he decided that his what was going to happen the way that he knew it was going to happen, or else Jesus wasn't really the Messiah. So he betrayed him. Thomas, on the other hand, he's gone 3.5 years, and he's functionally clueless about why Jesus is doing the things he's doing. So 8 days after Jesus appears to the disciples after his resurrection, he comes back one more time. Only for Thomas. I love studying about Thomas when I had that part to preach on in the Easter service at the drive-in theater. Man, I'll tell you what, Thomas, I identified with that guy. I'm 28 years old before I finally got my act together. And like Thomas, he wasn't, you know, he was the doubter. But he wasn't a doubter after that day. Because that memorial of Jesus walking into that room without even opening the door just to talk to him. Bible doesn't record that he talked to the others about anything. Talked to Thomas. I'll tell you what, Thomas, he was a home run hitter for the rest of his life. He did everything God wanted him to do. He never missed a stroke. Why? Because he knew the why behind the what. All of it suddenly made sense. All of it suddenly became crystal clear. And that's what having memorials in your heart will do for you. It'll open your eyes to things that nothing else will. When you finally got that aha moment, I get it. You're closer to Jesus than you ever were before. So it's important to revisit those key memorials in your life. It is incredibly important. Go back to those times. If it's only in your memories, go back to those times. Ask God to give you the clarity in your spirit and in your soul so that you can see those events where He just showed up. I remember asking Him that one time. And before I had made my decision to be a part of His kingdom, before I had that God encounter in my garage, I can remember, God brought this back to my remembrance, how He was there for me when I didn't want to give Him the time of day. And I built a memorial to that in my mind. I'm working down there at the Waterworks Park. There was a well house down there, 480 volt, three phase coming into the main electrical controller and all of that. Man, it was an old place. Gee whiz. And I got in there and I was supposed to do some stuff in the main box where the wires that are this big around come in to feed the motors. And I got in there and the back of my hand, I'm standing on a steel floor and the back of my hand brushes across a bare brass split bolt that held the main power wires together. And it was alive. It was 480 volts. Yeah. You ever been hit with 480, Jim? Makes a believer out of you. I'd had that happen to me. But that day it didn't. I felt the cold brass on the back of my hand for just a second. And I walked away. Man, I started going like this. I walked out of the building going, because I didn't get hit. And I touched it with my bare hand. And it was God. It was God. Now, I've done some stupid things after that I did get bit, but that's another story. But right then and right there, I could have been fried. I worked by myself all the time. They wouldn't have found me till the end of the day and wonder why I didn't come back to clock out. I'd just be there dead. But God had a plan. I don't forget those times. Don't you ever forget those moments where God came through for you. Because the devil's going to come along and try to whisper in your ear every ding-dong thing that comes along that didn't turn out the way you wanted it to turn out. Well, I guess your God isn't real then. Oh, wait a minute. Let me tell you about my God. See, it's all fresh on the inside of me, so I don't have any trouble bringing it up. And I tell myself over and over and over again how God did that. You got to draw from their significance in your life. See, our heritage as Americans and Christians, both in our Constitution and in our Bible, are a powerful part of who we are. Don't ever let go of that. Don't ever let go of that. I remember why I went in the Navy and got on a nuclear submarine with 144 nuclear bombs on board. Traveling 1,300 feet below the ocean, the waves of the ocean, doing my thing. Why? Because I believed in this country and I wanted to live for something bigger than myself. Figured I owed it. I don't like having debts unpaid. I paid my debt. I did what I was supposed to do. And I kept this country safe. I'm not going to give it up now that some yahoo is deciding what I can and can't have. It goes against my Constitution. I'm not letting the devil tell me what I cannot have when it goes against what my Bible says. I'm not going to be silent. I hope you don't either. It's important for us to remember who we are, what we've come through, and how big our God is. We need to delight ourselves intentionally in every one of those moments where God showed up. I like what the Amplified says, and I'll leave it with this. Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified says, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact, which is not that which is not revealed to the senses. Yeah. I can see them just clear as day. You can't, but I can. I was there. I remember what it was like driving the old company van when I was in Tulsa. I just got done with Bible school. Been working like a maniac for years. I'm driving through, you know, back into town in the company van. I said, God, I miss you. And man, oh, He says, I miss you too. Because I'd gotten so busy, I didn't spend my time with the Lord like I should have. Graduated Bible school. That don't mean nothing. Remember the memorials. How much He loves you. How much you matter to Him. And how He's already got things figured out before you ever get there. Just like He did the last time, and the time before that, and the time before that. Remember those memorials. Remember every one of them. And remember that tomorrow's Memorial Day, remembering the veterans that have passed away defending this country, Don't you give it away to these lunatics that want to steal it from you. They can't have it unless you just let go of it. They can't win unless you surrender. So don't surrender. Just don't surrender. Don't give up. God's going to be on your side. This country was founded on God. And if you'll stay true to Him, if you'll keep pursuing, you will not be disappointed. Because we're not going out with a whimper. Talked about this last Sunday. Yeah. Is this the end times? Oh, yeah. We're talking the last minutes of the last hours of the last days. That's okay. I'm not afraid. But I do know this one thing. God's not leaving without a great big harvest. So we're fixing to have a big refreshing because that's the way God operates. Don't you remember all the other times? It's going to be the third great awakening in this country. And then the trumpet's going to sound. The only thing holding God back is the precious fruit of the earth. You want to get involved in it? Be real. When God gives you an open door, a divine appointment, talk to the person. And when they're done, and you can tell by looking at their eyes, when they're done, they don't want to hear anymore, then just let go of it. That's all right. You planted a seed. But be the one that speaks. Why? Because we remember. That's why we're still here. We're not here just to be nice people. We're not here just to go to church. We're not here just to sing good songs. We're here to do the work of the kingdom. And He gave us one job. Go ye into all the world. Tell people what I've done for you. Preach the gospel. Tell people about the goodness of God. Yeah. We got one law, and that's the law of love. Love people, especially when they don't deserve it. That's a tough one. But the memorial that I have of a God who pursued me when I was worth nothing empowers me to love people that, thank you, Jesus, I got the grace to do it. Because I can't do it in my own strength. But God shows up, and you can do it. That's a memorial worth remembering, amen? Please, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to turn you loose. But I got to ask, is there anybody here that's never made Jesus the Lord of their life? I don't want you to go home without this. There's a hand that's gone up. This is powerful stuff. Or maybe you were like me and you did, but then you drifted away and you know. You need to get things straightened out right away. It's not the time to be thinking you might be saved. It's time to make sure that you are saved. If you need to rededicate your life, just stretch your hand up in the air. You're telling God, this is me. I know I'm not where I need to be. I know I need to make some changes, but I can't do it on my own. God, I'm coming back to you. Anybody else would join these two hands that's gone up? Come on, let's all stand. We serve a God who is incredibly loving. There's no way to measure His limitless love. It's totally unconditional, and it's all or nothing. So when you ask God for His love, you're going to get it all. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've gone through, no matter how many times you've fallen down and you're ready to get back up, that's the God that we serve. So with your heads bowed, just pray this after me. Heavenly Father, I give my life to you today because you are faithful, you are good, and you are loving, oh God. I surrender my life to you. Jesus, be my Lord. I believe that you died and rose again for my salvation, to pay for my sins. And I choose this day to dedicate my life to you. I'm not even going to try to do it in my own strength. I need you to strengthen me every day so I can live this life in a way that honors you, because you are worthy. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One soul got saved. Throwing a party in heaven. Another person got rededicated. How powerful is that? Memorial. This is a good way to start your memorial weekend, right? It's the power of God. But don't forget those times where God showed up. Remember them. Rehearse them. Make them fresh and new on the inside of you. Ask God to remind you. He'll bring up all kinds of ones that you probably forgot. And you'll have a permanent grin on your face that'll just drive the devil slap crazy because he thinks he's got you all wrapped up in a bow. But that's not true. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Verna, did you have something?
Yes, I just want to thank God again for my son. You know, he's been in about a month ago.
Yeah, with that critical diabetic issue, yeah.
Yeah, okay, he had to go in a couple days ago for emergency surgery on his small intestine.
Ooh.
Yeah, and but they could do it with the robotics, and praise God, he's doing very well.
Amen.
Thank God.
Amen. God is good. God bless you.
Got one too.
Sure.
Little baby was born yesterday. She was not due here until July 17th.
Oh, my.
3.5 pounds. She does not have to be on a ventilator or anything.
That's like so itty. That's itty bitty. Oh my gosh.
She's precious.
3 pounds. Woohoo. Awesome. Awesome. God is so good. Amen. Yeah, John.
Well, my brother may be an atheist, but he's going to hear about Christ when I go to visit him.
There you go. Just love on him, John. Just love on him. Just love on him. Watch what God does. Pray for the anointing all the way up to Kalamazoo. Yep. Yeah, and John's a baby brother, so, you know, that's it. We got to pray for him because this ain't going to be easy.
No.
Big brother don't want to hear it from little brother.
That's right.
But you're going to sow a seed.
Yep.
You're going to sow a seed. Amen. So have an awesome Memorial Weekend, man. It's supposed to be in the 80s. Have some fun, but remember where you came from and whose you are. Amen. And we'll see you next Sunday. God bless you. Pentecost Sunday.